Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we are getting a conversational tour, if you will, through the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School here in Anchorage. It's located at 550 Burgross Street and is a part of our public school system right here in Anchorage School District. I watched a short video on the website and one of the speakers described this school as a tiny slice of all of Alaska right here in this building. So we'll be getting that tour through the school principal, Patsy Shaha, here with me in the studio today. Welcome, Patsy.
Thank you, Ms. McCoy. I appreciate being here.
I'm so glad you're here. And I know you're busy because I've been tracking with you for several days and you're very busy. So I'm grateful that you could take the time to be with us today. We're very lucky to have you. So we're going to talk more about your journey to this role, to being the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School. And I hope you share lots of stories about the school in just a moment, but I'd like to note for our listeners that we have some information up on our website, alaskapublic.org, including the school's website. So if you want to explore while we're talking, you can go to their website and see a little bit about it. We also have their latest school report card up there. We've got some FAQs because this school is different from many schools. Not everybody knows exactly everything about it. So they had some nice FAQs on their website, so I linked to those. So please explore our website. It'll be easy for you. And before we get started, I invite our listeners to join us in the conversation. If you have family members at this school, how do they like it? What's different here than maybe you would find elsewhere in the Anchorage School District? Or if you didn't know that Anchorage even had a charter school with a focus on Alaska Native cultures, we have an expert in the studio to answer your questions. So please give us a call. I'm going to share the phone numbers with you. If you're in Anchorage, please call us at 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. Or we can also take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right, Patsy. So welcome once again. I was, researching on you and found out that your family ties are from Perryville, but you told me when you got here that you really had an urban experience. So did you grow up in Anchorage?
I did, yes.
Where'd you go to school?
Well, my family descends from Perryville, Alaska, and I have learned in my adulthood that I am what's called an urban native, raised in Anchorage and Kenai part of the time. And I went to school in North Star, Fairview, Mountain View before I moved to Kenai.
Mm-hmm. And then down there, did you go to high school down there?
I did.
So would that be Soldotna or
Kenai Cardinal?
Kenai Cardinal. Okay,
yes.
Still loyal after all these years.
Yes.
How about college? And when did you know you wanted to be a teacher, by the way? Was it early on or did it come later?
You know, it's super interesting because I had a little brother, four years younger than I, and he and I would play school. And I was always the teacher, and he was very advanced for his age, so we just had fun always playing school. But I didn't, my childhood is very much your, I would say, stereotypical, like, envisioned urban native childhood with the challenges that came with alcohol and parents who used too much, the domestic violence, the other types of things that happen.
Tough things.
Yeah, really tough things. And I had a fourth grade teacher. His name is Mr. Anderson, probably still is. And Mr. Anderson was a native man. And first day of school, Mr. Anderson comes in and he introduces himself. And he's what I call native proper. He's very enculturated native. He speaks quietly and slowly. And I was in my own self-talk. I talked to myself about Mr. Anderson and how obviously he was a sub. Because he's native, he's not a real teacher, he's a sub. So we're going to get the real teacher any day. He never said that, but I just knew that he was a sub. And, you know, a week or two went by, and I was like, wow, he's still here. They must be having a hard time finding my fourth grade teacher. And then the year went on, and I remember distinctly when we were learning our multiplication times tables by the flashcards. And it was my turn to come up, and I peeked and I saw the next one was 8 times 8 and he was holding the cards. And I distinctly remember thinking he has still fooled them. I can't even believe this. And that was around Christmas time. And I remember him teaching and I was just distracted that they still haven't figured out that he's not a real teacher.
When are we going to get the real teacher?
And it wasn't until I was in high school that I actually looked back and realized, Patsy, he was a real teacher. He had to have been a real teacher. And my experience for my own self is the same as that lens that I saw him. I had no idea in a million years that I would ever, ever become a teacher, much less the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School.
Yeah. In other words, you didn't think it was in the cards for you.
Not at all. Not at all. When I was a senior in high school, I finally had that little voice in my head say, you can do anything. And that's when I knew that this was that I would become an educator.
That's a powerful story, Patsy. I mean, it kind of, I don't know, overcoming that definition of what a teacher is and then placing it on yourself and then, you know, achieving it and becoming the principal. I mean, it's there's a lot of work that went on in there.
Absolutely.
Between your ears. Yes. For that to happen.
Yes.
Where did you go to college? Did you go outside? Did you go locally?
I went outside and I got my bachelor's degree, and then I taught outside for 3 or 4 years, and then I actually taught in my home village. I taught in Perryville.
Wow.
Which was amazing. And then that was for about a year, and then I came back to Anchorage and began my master's degree at UAA in education leadership. And then I have been an administrator, a principal in the Anchorage School District. And I was an assistant principal for, this is super interesting, combining the charter school package, because I was an AP in middle school and then elementary school and then high school. And now I'm back at a preschool through eighth grade charter school. So I've had a really strong exposure to what is the Anchorage School District and what is offered on the different levels. And
so
how
you
to
know the district.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And how to meet the needs of different age level kids.
Right, right, right. So how long have you been with the Anchorage School? All those schools. I mean, you've been in a lot of schools. So how long have you been with the district?
15 years.
And were you ever a teacher here or always an administrator?
I was a short teacher for a short time at Bartlett. And then I rolled into an internship with the administration that rolled into a job.
Wow. And so was it hard to leave the teaching behind, or did you feel you had a calling for the administrative side?
It was very hard to leave the teaching behind, because you become a piece of that learner and you learn each individual dynamic and strength and weakness and idiosyncrasy. And it just becomes a piece of you to better them, which betters me. And it was very hard.
Very engaged.
Yeah, it's very hard.
So, and why did you make that choice? Did you feel like you could have more impact if you were not just in a classroom, but maybe influencing a whole school? Why did you make the choice to go the other way?
I had a strong ideal that there was a right way to lead with kindness and directness, but still kindness, and making a difference in lives of children as well as the adults, but of course, mostly the children.
So that greater impact actually is
yes.
Really, really why. Okay, so that's a little bit about you. I'm kind of drawn to asking you a little bit more about leadership, but I want to get to the school. So I think many people don't know the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School. First of all, we agreed we would start with what is a charter school. So go ahead and talk a little bit about that, and then let's segue into your charter school.
Well, a charter school is different in every state. And in the state of Alaska, the charter school is part of a public system. Right now, all the charter schools are part of the public school system. So we are in the Anchorage School District. And there are, I don't remember how many charter schools there are in Alaska, but there's far more than we think, like maybe around 40. And we are the only Title I charter school. A charter school has its own charter, which means that they still are responsible to teach children and advance them in learning, but they can do it on their at their own terms, kind of a thing. And what's interesting about our charter school is we chose to write our charter, it's called, which is the basically the governing document of the school, to very much reflect your neighborhood school. So what we do, you know, from 9 to 3:30 is very similar to what you would see at Rush and Jack or Tyson or Willowa, Nunaka Valley. But it is with traditional cultural learning. So there's this added dynamic. And it's subtle. Although it's subtle, it is extremely powerful. I mean, people walk in the door and it just feels different. Mm. For example, yesterday morning, we begin every day with a morning message. And it's a community gathering. All the students and every staff member are in the gym together. And there's always parents there. And we say the pledge. We say the pledge in Yupik. And we celebrate children. We have a social emotional learning lesson, which is huge because it builds the health within for the child. And the way that we do that is we have a we call it an animal helper, and it's an Alaskan animal that is attached to a character trait. So, for example, the salmon is determination, And right now, our animal helper is the tundra swan, and his focus is initiative. And so we talk with the kids about what is initiative, and how do you show initiative at home, and how do you show initiative as a friend, and how do you show initiative when you go to the library, and just building up these characters. But it's a dialogue. It's not a sit and get in the morning message.
Mm-hmm.
It's really powerful. And to come in and experience the morning message, one of the superintendents that was in our school at one time said, "Patsy, that is why your school is so different than everybody else's." It's extremely powerful, and I invite you to. It's open to all.
I was really sorry that I didn't get to come over and take a tour beforehand. I just wasn't in the cards, but I will take you up on that for some time to stop in and say hello and just see it.
And when you come for a tour, the tour will be given by students.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, I mean, I hear back from the tour takers. It's so powerful because they get to talk right to the kid. Well, do you like the teachers? You know, what do you think about this? In fourth grade, you had this subject. What did you do? And
mm-hmm.
that yesterday morning in morning message, one of my teachers happened to have a successful seal hunt within her family the day before. So all of our students, 310 students, sat around and watched her on an overhead projector, but we watched her live butchering a seal.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
That
does not happen.
I know.
In every other school in Anchorage. Yeah.
Yes.
And how long did that take?
An hour and 10 minutes.
And any squeamish students?
No, I was surprised. Uh-huh. You know, we were walking around, we were paying attention, and they were so attentive. And she was very incredible in her teaching. And she said, "I'm teaching you this because this is what my grandmother taught me when I was a little girl." Mm. Just powerful.
Mm. Wow. Was she mic'd? Were they able to really see it?
You have
an overhead projector, and she maybe 300 kids can hear her. It was easy.
Yes. Yeah. Even, you know, and we're talking kids that are 5 years old up to 14 years old.
Yeah.
Mesmerized. Just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hands-on, really visual.
But something that's powerful about what I just said is, you know, my hands are going teeter-totter because she walked right from that, washed her hands, and went straight into amazing instruction, grade A instruction, where she's teaching the same thing that you get at Tyson and Nunaka Valley and the other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah. I know when I saw the video on your website, there was a teacher who said, "I bring in animals. I bring in fish. We cut fish. We dry fish. We everything." Is that the teacher that did it? I think her name was Kathy. I feel like she was a Yupik language teacher. Anyway.
Well, we do have that just yesterday with that one. Today we had a different teacher bring chickens into her classroom and have the kids pluck the chickens. And, you know, what does that mean to you know? And she came in afterwards and she said, "Patsy, they were going, ooh." And she said, "No, ooh, this is food. We don't get to ooh food." And just connecting. And again, this is, you know, for that today, that was 15 minutes out of 6.5-hour day of instruction. But a powerful connection to our mission, which is building student success through traditional cultural learning. We're still doing the reading, writing, arithmetic. Absolutely, we're doing that. We were required to do that as a Title I school. We have to dedicate 2 hours a day to language arts and writing and an hour and a half to math. We have to. And we put all of this in extra. Mm-hmm. And it's rich.
Hmm. So... I wanted to know, did the seal stay or did it go? I mean, it wasn't part of lunch or anything.
No. She took
her family
it home. She said
it.
She'd share, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Your day is very traditional. I mean, are there elders around the class in school? Or what role do elders play? I saw them on your academic policy committee. You've got seats there for elders. So I'm kind of interested, are elders around the school all day long?
Not all day long. They are around. We don't turn anybody away. So it happens when they want to be there. We can use elders for small group reading. So I said that every morning we begin with a community gathering.
Right.
And on Mondays, we have a guest elder.
See.
And the guest elder can be of any race, really can be of any age. The prompt for this person is simply, what are you passionate about in education? What would you like to share with the children? So that's one of the ways that we have elder presence in the school. Another one is that on our governing board, because we're a charter school, we have a governing board. And our governing board is called the Academic Policy Committee. every charter school has a governing board, which is extremely similar to the Anchorage School District School Board. Right. Superintendent Graff is not actually the boss, quote unquote, of the district. The school board is, but of course he is, but they are. I mean, it's they run the district. They govern the district and he manages it is really a good way to look at it. And the same thing with my school. My board governs the school and I manage it. I follow through with the governing policies that they wish for. Mm-hmm. And so on our governing board, there are 11 seats that have a vote, but one of the seats is constituted of elders. An elder group makes up this seat. Mm-hmm. And there are 4 elders that commonly come to our meetings and they collaborate together and they talk with us and, you know, very powerful presence. Mm-hmm. And then another way, for example, that we involve elders is every December we go over to the South Central Foundation assisted living home in Muldoon and do a holiday presentation for them.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever have any elders who just come and hang out? I mean, you have these scheduled things, and you say we never turn anyone away. So are you an attraction, I guess, to elders? Do they want to be around school children? Do they want to just be a part of your school?
You know, that is a really interesting question, because there's a couple of ways, things that have to go into helping understand them, the answer. When I say we never turn somebody away, so let's say that you were an elder and you came tomorrow and said, I'm here and ready to go. I would visit with you and I would find out what is it that would make you happy, because if that's the best thing to do, if we can do that. And then we would talk about ways in which we have need. I would have, out of respect for my classroom teachers, talk with them and say, hey, I have this idea. We've got this offer. What do you think? How would it fit in? What are the times? What are the dynamics? So there's some management of making that relationship fit. Mm-hmm. and then following through.
Right.
So, there's people who have come and said, I would just like to help set up a family night. Interestingly, we just got a brand new library. Over the summer, we had a very wonderful donation from the Tides Foundation that we used to remodel our entire library. And one of our volunteers put on a Anchorage Pay It Forward Facebook for people to come help set up the library. We had strangers come in and just help set up the library.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna just interrupt for 1 second to just tell our listeners, this is Patsy Shaha. She's the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School, and we're going to have her here for the whole hour. I want to throw out our phone numbers again for you if you've got questions for Patsy or just questions about charter schools or, you know, what's it like to grow up and as an urban native, as Patsy just told us she was. It's 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 outside of Anchorage. And we can take your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Okay, so back to the school. How would it be naive to think that there are ways you're teaching math that are incorporating Alaska Native values or principles, or maybe even the things you're counting, you know? How does it work? I had heard that you might be using some culturally significant things in your classes, and so I'm trying to get at that.
You know, that is a really, really, really excellent and poignant question. We have a partnership with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and it's titled Math in a Cultural Context. This is what happens. University of Alaska Fairbanks research had, you know, they figured out, I don't know who, I don't know when, but in simplicity, they figured out that 100 years ago, two men on the tundra did not know how to divide by using a division sign and subtracting and drawing a line and plussing and minusing and carrying the one and
et cetera,
putting
et cetera.
A remainder.
Uh-huh.
But they still did division. They still did the things that we do mathematically. They still measured, they still counted, they still multiplied, but they didn't do it like we do. So University of Alaska Fairbanks decided we better figure out how that happened and document it before we lose it. So we have a cooperation with them under the direction of Jerry Lipka, and it's called Math in a Cultural Context. And they daily are delving into the dialogue with elders about how did they measure, how did they do math, how did they do division and algebra, of course. And they learn from them, they develop lesson plans, and they develop manipulatives, they publish, and they put it grade level specific. You know, you're not going to teach algebra to a second grade group. And then we are one of their test schools. So they give us, they come and they teach us the lessons, and then we share it with our classrooms on top of the additional Anchorage School District Go math that we do,
mm-hmm.
and just supplementing in additional ways so that the kids are enriched in a different way of thinking.
It sounds like it's kind of still in beta or still being tested, or is that true?
Well, they have published a number of things in this, but it's an ongoing work.
Okay. You know,
it's an ongoing thing.
So can you, I'd love to kind of get some kind of an example so that we can picture how it's different from regular math.
Well, very good question. So right now, if I asked you to figure out 3/5 of a half, you'd probably have to draw numbers in the mind.
I
and
would
lines
have my
and
pencil
then,
and paper.
Right, right. And what Math in a Cultural Contest has figured out is the elders more visualize, you take, so I said 3/5 of a half. So visualize a strip, you fold it in half, and then take that strip, open it again, and fold it into 3/5. And you can see the chunks. Mm-hmm. Or no, take a half of it, sorry, and uh-huh. fold that into 3/5. And then uh-huh. you can actually see what 3/5 of a half was.
Uh-huh.
That's how they did fractions, without ever doing numeric fractions.
Right, so basically with their hands and some object that they could actually divide up
yeah.
physically.
A manipulative is what's it called.
A manipulative, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of how that different kind of math might be. I was trying to imagine, like, was it counting caribou,
yeah.
estimating caribou,
right.
or estimating fish runs, or, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what ways it would, you know, what is of Alaska that they would use. But it was really just the size of something.
No, it was the ways of counting fish, for example, right now is algebraic, but it's with a machine that counts how many swim by, where they would have to take an estimate, which is still mathematical, and then take that number and combine it a number of times without using, again, an X for times in a line and then carrying the
right,
one and
right,
adding
right.
a zero, and
right.
which would make no sense to them. Why are you doing it? We can
yeah.
just do it this way.
Yeah.
A really, really interesting thing that kind of delves into the same concept, but in a different way, is the concept of the seventh wave. Have you ever heard of that?
I think so, but you'll have to define it for
well,
me.
Well, in short, the seventh wave in the water is if you're canoeing... And you are canoeing and you're paddling and you're paddling and you're paddling. If you wait until, I believe it's the seventh wave, it actually will carry you. But you're not going to know that. You're just going to keep paddling, 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 unless that wisdom was shared down through the elders.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a simple example of sharing wisdom that will make your life easier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean,
yeah.
scientifically, we know waves flow in sets. I guess that's a little bit about this, and we know mm-hmm. maybe the seventh wave in a set is going to be the strongest one or something like that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Tell us about how students learn. There's so many Alaska Native cultures. There's many of them. And I see from looking at your website that you have targeted certain ones at certain times. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
The idea that we have is... every grade level is assigned a specific Alaska Native culture. So preschool does, and kindergarten, they both do the arts and movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then first grade, so then first, second, third, fourth, fifth is assigned a specific Alaska Native culture. So for example, first grade is Yupik and Chupik. Second grade is Sukpiak and Unangak. And third grade is Southeast. So by the time you get through the fifth grade, you have been exposed to every Alaska Native culture for a year. And then in sixth grade, they review them all again. And then in seventh grade, the students study Alaska Native government and history and politics, which is really an interesting conversation to have with a 12, 13-year-old.
Yes, and it's very recent. It's so recent
yeah.
in our history. What I mean, can you tell me a little bit about that? What do these seventh graders,
well,
what kind of questions do they have?
And then in eighth grade... the kids do Alaska Native American Indian literature. But to answer your question, for example, you know, a 12, 13-year-old today, they really don't know what ANCSA is.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't mean anything to them. But our kids leave knowing that in the 60s, there was the 50s, we became a state. There was strong conversation about what are we going to do, because the rest of the United States in their history did this reservations thing. But we were lucky because we had options. We didn't have to do the reservations. So we teach the kids that in the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of political dialogue about what are we going to do about this. And then the 70s came, and what is ANCSA, and what does that mean for us today? And what does this mean that there are 13 corporations, but really now there's only 12. And we say they, you know, just it's it becomes rich conversation. And something that's important to put into this dialogue is that our school is open to all children.
So you have non-native students attending as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have about 50% of our students who are coded Alaska Native American Indian. And the other 50% are either biracial or they have chosen a specific other culture. And within the biracial, we have children that are Alaska Native and African American or other types.
Mm-hmm.
And so we absolutely are a school that's open to all children, and it is not focused toward educating one child, you know, one race.
Mm-hmm.
And the children that bring other experiences make it even more rich.
Well, I think it would be perhaps in another school that is really focused on the majority population, you would have an Alaska Native student that wasn't getting their background in that school at all, whereas here they're getting an overview of all of Alaska Native backgrounds. It's interesting because I think about it being very local, like my family's from Bethel or my family's from Barrow, very local, but actually your students are getting the whole state. You're getting, you know, the cultural groups on the chain and in the interior and on the coastline. They really get a huge overview.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah. I remember years ago reading a story in the newspaper about a school within a school, I think at East High. It has an Alaska Native name, which I cannot remember. But I remember that many students in that group talked about trying to hide from the fact that they were Alaska Natives. They tried to be as non-native as they could be, and that this group was a place that they felt like they could talk about it. And I'm imagining that your school has a kind of feeling of celebrating that you're a native and not hiding it. And I feel like it must be significant for kids, like even you telling the story of the fourth grade teacher who you thought, oh, he's a native, he can't be the real teacher. Here, you know, are your teachers native? Are your teachers native, or a mix of native and non-native teachers? You know, you didn't see an Alaska Native in a teaching role when you were coming up.
Correct.
Until that, right. Mr. Anderson was there.
And then I didn't again.
And you still questioned it, you know. So now, I mean, can you feel the impact of students seeing somebody that looks like you being the teacher? You know, that's really a big, big, I don't know, impact, I think.
You know, a deep question. One of the things that it makes me think of is when I decided to become an administrator, I went through my internship and I realized at the very, very beginning of it that I had to learn what I called to behave Western. And now, you know, 15 years later, I consider myself bicultural, but it wasn't an easy journey. And I remember in my internship that I'd said rolled right over into a job. I told myself, Patsy, you have to learn to behave Western. And one of the things that was a huge, huge, huge challenge for me, like sweaty palms challenge, was making eye contact. And so what I did for 2 full years is I would look at you and I would cross my eyes a little bit. You didn't know I was crossing my eyes, but I knew I was crossing.
You were trying to blur out.
So you became blurry so I could fake it.
Huh.
You know, that whole fake it till you make it, I guess. But those types of things I had to do. And like I said, I consider myself now, I'm successful in both cultures, but it took a long time. And probably about a month ago, I was visiting with some seventh grade students, and we were just kind of talking, and it was a real solemn, very quiet, you know, it just was a different type of conversation. And one of the girls raised her hand, and she said, you know, having you as our principal, it was incredibly poignant. She said, it just means that we're not all drunks.
Mm.
And I almost hesitated in saying that because it was very contextual and it was incredibly meaningful at the moment. And it was in no way trite. It just was powerful for her to be able to share that. And your question wasn't about me, but that's one of the... almost one half of our teachers are Native. I have 21 certificated staff, and 9 of us are of Alaska Native descent.
Mm-hmm.
But of more importance, straight up honesty, is all 21 of them are excellent educators. They all have incredible packages to offer children. The 9 that were hired were not hired because of their ethnicity. Mm. They were hired because of their excellence in teaching and what they can bring to our mission of building student success through traditional cultural learning. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to find. There's three things, in my opinion, that make a school excellent. One of them is research-driven curriculum, you know, curriculum, science, math, reading, that's proven to work. The research shows it. Another one is incredibly well-trained teachers. And in our school, that also brings the cultural component of training, which will happen in the state here coming up. And then the third thing is really strong parent engagement, mm-hmm. parents who are actively involved in what their kids are doing.
Well, we're going to come back and talk about how your school is doing. There's all kinds of report cards for schools. So let's talk a little bit when we come back about how your school is doing, things that are working, things that are challenging. If you're just joining us and you don't know, this is Patsy Shaha. She's the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School here in Anchorage, a charter school in the Anchorage School District. And we'll be right back. We're going to take a little break. This is Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. This is Kathleen McCoy. I'm your host. And today we're really honored to have the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School with us today. Her name is Patsy Shaha. Welcome back, Patsy.
Thank you.
And I'm going to put our phone numbers out there for you. If you have questions about charter schools, about this charter school, or just about Patsy and how she found her way to becoming the principal of this school. Her family goes back to Perryville. She was born in pretty much raised in Anchorage and in the Kenai, but has actually taught a year in Perryville. So she went back to her roots and did some teaching, but fairly quickly became an administrator at all levels of the Anchorage School District before becoming the principal of this school. So I'm going to put our numbers out there one more time, 550-8433 in Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or you can send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, Patsy, on our break, I said, well, let's come back and talk about how this school is doing. And I found on, you can go to the early education, the state's education website, and you can find report cards for everybody, every school. And so I found one for yours, which was, I think, it's the most recent one. I think it says 12-13. And it's a bit mumbo jumbo to me. I was looking for, what was the score? And I invite you to sort of talk to us a little bit about that most recent report card. I brought it here for you in case you want to refer to it. Here it is right here. How's the school doing? And you've been the principal for how long? I don't even think we established that.
This is my third year.
Third year. And there were two principals before you?
Correct.
I believe the school started in 2007.
We're in our seventh year.
Seventh year. And you've been adding, as I read on your website, seventh grade, then eighth grade, and there's even preschool.
Yes.
So was this a dream job for you? Or was it like, oh boy, be careful what you wish for. You might get it.
Absolutely a dream job. I when I'm in a public place and I have to introduce myself as the principal, I say from the bottom of my soul, my name is Patsy Shaha, and I have the amazing privilege of being the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School. Amazing. In my office is a picture of that fourth grade little girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go to the performance. How is the school doing? I kind of wanted to get a little background. How long have you been there? You were there when they added the seventh and the eighth?
Well, the school is doing incredibly well. There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but probably the place to begin is we're in our seventh year. And in our first year of assessment, our average score for assessment was 43%. That's 43% of the kids, less than one in two is proficient in math, reading, and writing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an average score of all the kids. That at that point, we were kindergarten through fifth grade. And then we added a sixth grade, and then we added a preschool, then we added seventh, and last year was our first year of eighth. And we're not adding for a while.
Not going to high school?
High school right now is far too different in meeting the educational needs of kids. It wouldn't be the best interest of schools to create a K through 12. It would be better to create just a high school.
Mm-hmm.
Our average achievement now is 73 or 74%, which
That's
is...
That's a big jump.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the statistics and analyze them, that means that almost 3 in 4 students are proficient in reading, writing, and math. And some of the dynamics of that is that we're a Title I school, which means that we have the majority of our students are on free and reduced lunch. And a part of that dynamic also is that every year there has been change. So, for example, last year we had we're in the seventh year, and my first year was 3 years ago. That year was our final year in the lease of the rented furniture store on Muldoon, the old Ashley Furniture Store. And then we were able to secure a lease with Pacific Northern Academy, who bought an old ASD building, the old Willowa building it's called. So we rent the facility over at 550 Braga. When we began that lease, we were so sure that we would not be able to fill the building, which has 19 classrooms. We were sure. So we were planning on how we were going to sublease rooms to other places.
Mm-hmm.
We added 100 new students, and we had to put a relocatable out in the parking lot. And we have a waiting list of about 50 kids.
Wow.
So we're bulging at the seams.
Yeah,
and
what's your student body size?
We have 330 something, including preschool. Yeah. Our charter maxes at 320. And so I think we're at 333 okay. Last I checked.
We've got a caller. I want to bring him on the line. Welcome, David, to Hometown Alaska.
Hello.
Welcome. What's your question?
I have a question. Mr. Shaha, I just want to say you've done an amazing job in developing this program from where it started 3 years ago to where you are now. And it just bursting at the seams. And, you know, everywhere you go, they're like, oh, my goodness. I hear about the school. Now, there's a project that's coming on, a garden project, and how do you feel about that in your dynamics and the idea of development in this school? How does that fit in?
Oh, Kathleen, you're going to love this. I didn't even think of this. It's not anywhere on the web pages. We have a cooperative with South Central Foundation, and they are helping us develop a traditional learning garden. So right in the front yard, there's this, I don't know, eighth of an acre, tenth of an acre plot that will become a representation of Alaska traditional animals. And there'll be southeast part and north central part. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a way, again, an additional way for elders to come in and talk with children. This is what we use this for. This is what we use
so
this for.
So it's herbs and wild plants.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. It's going to be amazing. And we could not do it without South Central Foundation.
Huh. That's
just in the beginning, like drawing things on paper and trying to get funders. But it will happen. And South Central Foundation has one on the north end of their
I thought I had heard that there was... like I've heard it called a medicinal garden or an herb garden, health herb garden. I thought there was one existing at South Central.
And as a matter of fact, just last week I was on the phone with a representative from the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Alaska just about the traditional learning garden.
Hmm. Will they be supportive or what?
Absolutely.
They were curious about it?
They were curious about what our development was and what we need to go forward and, what is our driving force? Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, I want to ask you, are you a parent or how do you get your information on this school?
I'm a parent there.
Uh-huh. And what grades are your kids in?
My child is in seventh grade.
And did they go there all the way through elementary?
He started go when they were when Ms. Shaha became principal.
Mm-hmm.
So and she's just absolutely become a wonderful young lady because of that that school.
Your daughter?
She's kind of become a leader of that school, and it's been amazing. And it's because of, you know, Mrs. Shaha's wonderful leadership and the way she brings the community together. She really has a great vision for this school and the way it's moving forward. And every day it's just leaps and bounds of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting, too, because Mr. Wahlberg, you don't know this yet, but just today, your daughter's classroom teacher recommended her for a leadership training put on by the YWCA. And so today I brought her in with a group of other students and I gave her a letter from me and all the paperwork for it. And I said, your daughter is being commended by your teacher for your leadership in the school. And these are 6th, 7th, and 8th graders that have been invited to a training by the YWCA. And she's going to bring that home for your signing today.
Wow.
That's wonderful. That is great news, see? Just another example of leaps and bounds this school is making.
Wow.
For these young children for the future.
David, before we let you go, I just have one more question. The fact that we have someone else from the school is exciting for me to sort of get your feedback. What kinds of stories does your daughter tell about going to school there? And she was probably in a different school before that. So how did it, you know, what kind of stories does she tell you?
Just the fact that she's feeling very connected with the school there. She can be herself. She feels very comfortable about around the environment that it develops. And she's also learning not alone, you know, the 21st century education, but she's also learning the education of her culture,
mm-hmm.
which is very important because today, you know, having a grasp of your own culture, but also understanding the 21st century makes you a stronger person.
Mm-hmm. Where is your family from, David?
Alaska.
I mean, are they from north, interior?
They're down towards Perryville. It's towards Dillingham and that area.
Okay. All right. So, well, great. I really appreciate you calling in. And if there's, you know, if there's anything else you want to add, go ahead. But thank you so much for taking the time to call.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. So let's see. Where were we? That was interesting. I'm glad that we heard from somebody that has a student in the school. I'm curious about, you've got, you know, preschool kids, you have a preschool program, and then
I was going to add something else about the data, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, you were asking about me the achievement data and standardized testing. Well, the achievement data is a result of standardized testing. That's where we get our numbers. It's the same. Although we're a charter, we're still required to give the same, like, quote-unquote, bubble test that every other school is. And last year, I was invited to testify at the Alaska Senate Finance Committee. This group of senators wanted to hear from specific schools about what is your program and why do you have success. And while I was waiting to present, another person came over and said, excuse me, are you the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School? And I said, yes. And she said, so this is the story. She works in the Department of Education. And she told me, Patsy, do you realize that I believe there's 17. Of the 17 areas that are assessed in education in the state of Alaska, you meet all but one. You meet the state goal in every subset except for one. So, for example, in students with disabilities reading, we passed the state goal. In the students as a second language, we surpass the state goal. In every area that they test, we surpassed their goal except for one.
And when is that?
Well, all the rest, but the one is special education writing.
Uh-huh.
So special education reading, we surpassed it. And these are their goals for the entire state.
Right, right.
And she came to me and said, do you realize this? And I had not realized the powerfulness of that statement. I knew that our program works for our kids. I knew that Alaska Native and American Indian achievement hovers at around 50%. Might be 49, might be 52. But if you look at the data across the country for 50 years, 50%. That means 50% of third graders know how to read. That means 50% of eighth graders can do eighth grade math. That means 50% graduate from high school. That's it. So our school was built on the premise that it is for one of two reasons. The kids can't learn or the learning isn't done correctly. And of course, we invested in the second one because the first one's absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And our achievement is, like I said, it's almost 3 out of 4. And that is, I said earlier that we added an extra 100 kids last year. That 3 out of 4 is even with 100 new brains that we only enriched for 7 months before they were given
tested.
A standardized test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about why you think that's happening. I would love, you know, I mean, it's going to be things you know. It's the environment you're creating there. But let's talk about, and I wonder if students who've moved into your school ever talk to you about what's different here for them. What's making it work for them?
You know, here's an interesting completely separate example, but it shows that it works. We have a child in our school this year who is from, they're an Iraqi family. And long story short, his dad helped the American soldiers, and he did that for a specific contractual term, and then he was given citizenship here. And he came here, and he was at another middle school last year, and the boy just had struggle after struggle after struggle. And the dad knew well enough to go to the Anchorage School District and say, in a very polite way, he's a very polite man, he said, "This isn't working for my son. What can we do?" And they tried a bunch of things, and then the head of the English Language Learners Department called me directly and said, "Can this boy go to your school?" And I said, "Absolutely." And that boy and his dad, the boy's in eighth grade, have come to me so many times and said, "Oh my goodness gracious, he's making leaps and bounds. He is learning more than we ever thought he could learn at a rate that he should be learning." And that's my word, should. He should have been learning at this rate before. And we just had I'm visualizing the key, you know, the notches in the key that work for him. And that's one of the things that really is so amazing about my school, is my teachers, my staff, and myself work passionately to find the notches for every child.
Not one size fits all.
Right. Well, and knowing my profession and knowing my colleagues and working across this district, most do, but I can tell you with conviction that in my school, we do. We try very hard. Very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I want to throw out our phone numbers for folks one more time. If you've just tuned in, this is Patsy Shaha, the principal of the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School. She was just giving us some really impressive numbers of some turnarounds, I guess you could call them, or really high achievement, beating the state standards in 16 of 17 criteria, I guess you were saying. So if you've got questions for her about charter schools or about the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School, give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752. Or we can also take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Sometimes, Patsy, we just get only email. Like, I never know exactly what it's going to be. So what should we talk about? I really want people to have a much better understanding of your school and why it is the way it is. You don't know. Well, I'll just talk to you. How about, I'd like to know about your kids and how maybe they get out into the community. I saw you had lots of partnerships on your website. So you talked about one where your kids are go and give a program to, I think it might be South Central Foundation, center, a living center in Muldoon. That was one thing. But how are your kids getting out into the community?
There's a number of one of the things that came to mind as you asked that question was we have two all-school field trips. Now wrap your head around taking 300 kids on one field trip. The first one that we do is in the fall, and it's an all-school berry picking trip. We load them up in buses. We take them to Arctic Valley. And we give them buckets, and they berry pick. Because we figured out that we have a building of urban natives, as I mentioned, referred to before, many have not had that experience outside of our school, and then they take it beyond, you know. And in the winter, we do an all-school ice fishing trip.
Those are both cool. Those are really cool. Where do you go for your ice fishing?
The ice fishing is a cooperative with Fish and Game, and we go to Jewel Lake. Most of the years, we've gone to Jewel Lake.
Wow.
Yeah, and again, we have kids who say, "I've never been fishing before. This is the first fish I've ever caught."
Yeah.
And then they get to take their fish home in Ziploc baggies.
Real.
Yeah, and the teachers talk to them beforehand. What do you do with, you know, you can cook it this way, you can cook it this way, you can give it to your principal because she'll eat it.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, that made me think of something. Actually, we've got some callers coming in, but let me just ask you this question. You know, I wondered, because you have so many urban Alaska natives that you're teaching, where these experiences aren't part of their everyday life, I'm trying to figure out, it doesn't get reinforced outside of the school, maybe very often. Is that a challenge for you? Or, you know, do they find it relevant, or do you have to convince them that it's relevant, because they live in a broader culture that isn't necessarily celebrating it?
You know, that's a really good question, and I hadn't thought of that before. And my answer is that the parents that bring their children to a charter school literally bring their children to a charter school. There's no busing.
Yes.
And so we have an emotional and a cognitive investment from our parents. So when their kids are coming home saying, I got a fish, what are we going to do with it? You know, our parents are saying, okay, what am I going to do with this? You know, or, you know, like last week, one of my teachers brought walrus soup.
Wow.
And so the kids go home and say, I had walrus soup today. You know, it's so, yeah, the parents, they're engaged. They're involved and they're engaged.
Well, maybe pulling parents back in too, who have, you know, as you talked about, I made myself become as Western as I could in my profession. Well, maybe parents have had to become very Western.
Right. And many of our parents are of the generation who were not allowed to, quote unquote, behave native. And so then it just becomes this really nourishing conversation for both.
Interesting. I'm going to go ahead and take a caller. Welcome, Carolyn. This is Hometown Alaska. What's your question?
I was wondering, I haven't heard the entire program, but it sounds like this school has quite a marvelous success rate, and I'm wondering why the what it does or that is not done in the Anchorage schools. Is it because they have a smaller number of students, they have more control over the teachers they hire and may retain? I understand it's charter school, so it's entire, you know, there is a great deal of difference, but we really need to have a better success story with our public schools, in my opinion.
Well, this is a public school. I think Patsy can only speak to her own. I mean, you have taught around the district. You made the point that you're familiar with the Anchorage School District. You're not some branch out here that's not really connected. Your experience is broad. But I don't know, you know, you've worked hard for your success is what I would say. I mean, you talked about combining. I know I read in some of your testimony talking about if a teacher hits something they don't, like they have a third grade class that's falling behind in reading. Well, you look at development for the teacher to deal with that question. So it's problem solving. I don't know whether you think it's unique at your school that this is happening, but I don't even know how to answer that. There's so many schools in the Anchorage School District.
Well, and Carolyn, the answer to your question is this: it's a puzzle of a lot of different pieces. For example, one of the things I just said was that our parents are emotionally and cognitively invested in bringing their children to school every day, rain or shine, car broken or not. They find a way to get their kids to school. But I mean, our program is so incredibly unique. Just having a charter where we are our own governing board. We are under the Anchorage School District and the Anchorage School District. We can't make any rules in our charter that contradict the Anchorage School District board policies. You know, and part of it is nebulous. There's just something different about it and the experience that happens every day. I know my one of my teachers is enculturated. She's a Yupik lady, and her first year in our school was last year, and she comes across, you know, her evaluations are stellar. She has gotten grade A performance across all of her years. I think she's in her 17th year, and she gets just as great a grades in performance grades in my school, but she just said, Patsy, this is home. And I don't really know how you transfer that, you know, into words, but Miss Warren's, it's just home, and she says it in this particular way.
Mm, yeah. Well, I've got other questions coming in. This is always the way it is, Patsy, at the end, everyone says, well, let me get my question in. I'd like to invite Anne on. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. Anne, what's your question?
Hi, this is Ian, and I have less of a question than just an appreciation and celebration. I just have had the privilege over the last few years of doing a small amount of work with a Native charter school and gotten to see their practices grow and just have so much admiration for the way that all of the staff members there are so personal and personally engaged with students, with their families, with one another, and just bring culture alive, but in such a deeply personal way. And I would say that's what, to the last caller's point, that's
what's working
connects them.
Thank
what's
you,
working
Anne.
And what connects them with other Anchorage schools that are also working is that there's a very deep personal connection to individual students and their learning. So just thanks to Mrs. Shaha and her amazing staff.
You're welcome. And Anne, thank you for bringing your beautiful granddaughter to our school this year. Oh my goodness, she makes me smile every day.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks, Anne. Very much appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thanks for the program.
You're welcome. And I'm going to bring up an email here. It's coming from Bonnie Headley. In my travels in schools in rural Alaska, elders are an important part of many schools. How do you use elders at Alaska Native Cultural Charter School? What about the challenge of working with students of many different cultures with different traditions and values? Big question. We've talked a lot about elders. You talked a lot about that in the first half hour. The morning statements on Monday, you begin the day with a value statement from an elder. But I feel like we dealt with elders at the charter school and how you incorporate them when they arrive, checking with your teachers, you know, figuring out how it's going to work. But what about this challenge of students from, like we said, we have many different cultures across the state. Is it a challenge bringing them all together? I know you told me people do not learn these languages. They get exposed to these languages. How does that work? Is that easy for students to bounce from Tsimshian to, you know, Athabascan or just the different cultural systems that you talk about?
Well, I would have to say it's easy because I haven't seen anything otherwise. It's eager. You know, they're like, oh, next year I get to this. And, you know, they hear about what the other kids are doing. Mm-hmm. And as far as I believe that the question was saying, children who are not enculturated Alaskan Native, is it a challenge for them? And I would say forthrightly, no, it is not a challenge. Mm-hmm. In our morning message, one of the things that, you know, because I said that we SEL, our social emotional learning lessons are at that time, we spent a lot of time talking about being a good person and sharing and being respectful. And it's a very safe environment. I tell the kids, I mean, you went in tomorrow and said, what is your principal's number one job? They're going to say safety. And we talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have about a minute left. So I kind of want to invite you to leave our audience with something to think about. Maybe it's the most common question you get asked or just something you want to leave them when they're thinking about the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School. What do you want to leave them with?
As I said earlier, when I introduce myself, I say, my name is Patsy Shaha, and I have the amazing privilege of being the principal of the Alaska Native Charter School. I know every single one of those children, and I'm a part of their education, and I'm a part of their development, and their smiles, and their energy, and it goes home with me every day. And it's just passionate for me to take them, or to be a part of their journey, rather. And we do it together. I have such an amazing staff. You are absolutely welcome to come join us for Morning Message or pop in or give me a call or shoot me an email. You're going to hear me brag a bit because it's bragworthy. It's awesome. Uh-huh. But I really invite anyone to check us out. Mm-hmm. And we are a lottery school. I didn't mention that earlier. To enroll in our school, you have to go on to the ASD lottery system. Mm-hmm. And the lottery goes in February.
Wow. We're out of time. And
thank
we had
you.
So much to talk about. And you're very passionate. Just, I wish the audience could see you in the studio. I mean, your cheeks are pink and you're fired up and your arms are waving and you're really into it. So thank you so much, Patsy Shaha, for being with us in the studio today. And thank you to our callers and listeners who had a lot of good points today. Next week on November 5th, we can look forward to a post-election day analysis with host Charles Wolforth and guests Eric Croft and Ralph Samuels. Pat Yak is Vice President of Public Media. Monica Goki is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.